Amen. Oh, everything I am, I owe it to the Lord. And I'm thankful for that good grace of the Lord today. Genesis chapter 14, let's stand together. I'm going to read these verses. I promise you, I'm not going to bog down going over everything we've already preached. We have preached the hound dog out of these verses here the last few weeks. And I want to get to what I've been trying to get to for weeks now. I guess it's all good, but I'm especially excited to try to shed some light on some things for you from this text today. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord, all right? The Bible said in verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him, speaking of Abram, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Listen to these words, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him, speaking of Abram, he gave to the king of Salem tithes of all. The king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, there, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." You can be seated this morning as we have been dealing with this subject of in this scene of Abraham's life, as there's the presentation in Abram's life in the Kingsdale, the Valley of Sheba, of the king of Sodom and the king of Salem. Simply put, we've been preaching this text on the thought, choosing your king. As Abram comes to this place, this valley of Sheba, this place of the king's dale, there is a choice that he must make concerning two kings that have come to him. His attention must be given to one. His loyalty must be decided in his heart who he's going to be loyal to. And Abram had a decision to make. He's here encountered by these two kings, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and Bera, as he is mentioned to us by name in verse number 2, the king of Sodom. Abram must decide which of these kings he is going to bow to, which of these kings he is going to honor, which of these kings he is going to follow loyally in his life. Choosing your king, as Abram had a decision and a choice to make. Every man, woman, boy, and girl has a choice to make about who they're going to allow to be the king of their life. We find in the king of Sodom a picture of none other than Satan himself. Bera is his name, simply meaning son of evil or the wicked one. What a picture of Satan and his kingdom of sin and darkness. Advice for the attention of mankind, advice for your loyalty, advice and tries to gain your control of your life and of your decisions and your choices. How the devil today would love none other than to have this world bow their knee to him and live their life under his rule and his domain. And that's exactly where sinners are in this hour. That's where they live. They are of their father, the devil. They walk according to the god of this world. And Paul said, according to the prince of the power of the air. And prince of darkness, my friend, he is real today. And he is active in the world. He has come forth seeking to kill and steal and to destroy. And he is one of moral poverty. He's one that has a magnetic pool of temptation, luring and deceiving the souls of men into temptations of pleasure that he freely offers, so-called freely offers, to this world. But when we embrace them, we find they're not free at all. They cost us everything. We find his pride and his magnified persona and how that he is a haughty king. He's a miserable protector of souls, is he? In chapter number 14, lost even the power over his own kingdom and could not offer Lot and his family protection from the elements and the kingdoms that, and the control that others would seek to have even in Lot's life. We see his materialistic presentation in that he will offer you all the goods and all the stuff in simple exchange for your soul. That's what the king of Sodom, that's what Satan wants today. He wants your soul in exchange for a few goods. He wants your soul that is eternal, that is going to live somewhere throughout eternity, forever and forever, in exchange to give you just a few things in this life that will bring you temporary pleasure and temporal joys, but will one day fade away. Amen. I hate the devil this morning. He is the god of this world. He is the prince of darkness, the prince of Beelzebub. He, my friend, is a ruthless king. He's a wicked king. And my friend, he offers nothing that is lasting and eternally satisfying. And he is represented in the choice that Abram had to make in the king of Sodom. But we've been given attention the last couple of weeks to the king of Selah. And we understand that if the king of Sodom represents the devil and Satan, then the king of Salem represents Jesus Christ. And we find him in Melchizedek, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. Christ is eternally connected to Melchizedek and his royalty and his priesthood, which is, my friend, forever and forever. And so the king of Salem represents Jesus Christ. And we know that he is the only, he is the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God to whom belongs glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we understand the last chapter there that Paul would write to Timothy, that Jesus Christ is called the only potentate. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. They wrote upon the cross above that day they crucified him. And this is the King of the Jews. And he was, but he was more than the King of the Jews. Amen. He was the King of glory come down to earth to lay down his life. The only king. Amen. All them kings that would ever fight in the king's dale, they would rise up and they would try to slay another king so they could rule and reign. But the king of Salem, our Savior from glory, is the only king who had to die, and it was of necessity that he died. And my friend, his kingdom might begin, and you and I might come to know him as the king of glory. Glory to God. I'm glad that he came. I'm glad, my friend, he came to where we were when we couldn't go to him. Oh, thank God he came to us in a valley in time of decision. When all that seemed to be offered to you and I was the world and the gates of hell and the pleasures of sin in this wicked world, I'm thankful that the Lord came to where we were to give his life, to give us a choice of another king. Amen. Y'all pray I can get this out of my throat. Brother A.L. said he felt like he's choking. I feel like it's jumped on me this morning. Amen. The king of Salem, Jesus Christ. And what a king he is represented to Abram. What we've been trying to do these last several weeks, I think this is my third attempt in trying to preach this. It was my goal to preach it all in one service. And as usual, that didn't work out. But we're trying to lay before you how that the king of Sodom and the king of Salem stand in contrast one to the other, trying to give you the ability to make an informed decision, believing that if you could just see the king of Sodom for as he is and see Jesus as he is,
The choice you ought to make would stand absolutely clear today in your heart and in your life, as it has for so many of us that are gathered here this morning. And so in the King of Salem, thus far we looked at his sovereign position. He is a king, and he has a kingdom marked by two attributes, that being righteousness, which mankind has none of, and a king of peace. Literally, that is what Salem means, is peace, and that's what we need, mankind needs. Righteousness, and we have none, and we need peace, and we can't find anywhere that would be lasting in this world. But I'm glad in Jesus we can find both. We find in him the fulfillment of the law of righteousness. And if we believe on him by faith, his righteousness will be accounted and imputed unto you. And in doing so, amen, your life will be filled with peace with God. Amen, his sovereign position as king. We looked at his special pedigree. For there's no mention here of Melchizedek's lineage in this text, but in Hebrews 7:3, we find that he had none. He is one without father and without mother. He is one that, my friend, is without beginning of days and one without end of days. And that speaks of the eternal deity of Jesus Christ, as we're reminded. This is not no ordinary man. This is not no ordinary earthly king. And this is the King of Glory. This is God come down from heaven. My friend, robed and wrapped in the flesh of humanity, and yet filled with eternal deity, one that existed before mankind would ever lay eyes on him. The one that said before Abraham, I was, I am, that has always been and ever shall be. His special pedigree, his significant provision. Oh, I can't bog down here again, but when he showed up and appeared unto Abram in this time of decision, he came bringing forth, the Bible said, bread and wine, emblematic of the body and the blood that Christ would offer for our sin at Calvary's Hill. And we'll study that tonight. Amen. According to Matthew 26, 28, and 29. And we're thankful, my friend, this king, he has brought with him in this choice everything you need for your eternal redemption. There's nothing you got to bring to the table. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to bog down again. He brought everything you need to the table. Amen. You don't need baptismal waters. You don't need a leaf that has been turned. You don't need to bring reformation. You don't need to bring a certificate that you passed some program. Oh, no, friend, no church membership certificate is needed in this table, for he brought everything and is needed. He brought his body and his blood for our salvation. Amen. What a king today. Amen. Every king in this world demands, amen, if you're going to have an audience, if you're going to be in their presence, that you've got to bring something to my friend to merit that audience. But this king, amen, brought everything we needed for redemption and everything we need for our refreshment. Amen. We looked last week in his superior priesthood, how that he is a royal priest, a king priest of the Most High God. And I'm not taking time to preach all that again, but it's a superior priesthood in its perfection, in its perpetuity. It is forever and ever. And may I say, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, amen, it is eternal. It never passes away. Amen. He died on Calvary, but he raised again the third day. Amen. And he said of himself, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. They'll never kill him again. They'll never crucify him again. He ain't shedding another drop of blood. Thank God he'll never know the piercing of the nails on an old rugged cross again. Thank God he lives forever. Amen. That's our Savior. That's his king today. Amen. Now the devil, he's going to perish, this other king of Sodom. He's going to die. Amen. And the lake of fire is going to be his eternal home. That's exactly right. Which king would you rather have? Amen. One whose kingdom is going to perish, or one who in his kingdom is a priesthood that is going to live on forever. I'm telling you, the choices could not be more in contrast. Let me deal with this morning. Last of all, we see the king of Salem, see Jesus Christ in this king of Salem, Melchizedek. I want to word it this way for sake of outline, but in his satisfying proclamation. Not only did the king of Salem appear, what an appearance it was. What a provision that he brought to Abraham that day. What a priesthood is represented there. There is the king of Salem appears unto Abram. He not only appeared to him, amen. He not only showed up, but he had something to say that Abram needed to hear. I read it to you this morning. Can I just read it again? And I'll lay out a few things. I'll be as brief as I can be. I intend to be real brief this morning. The Bible said, and verse 19, look at it. And he, that is Melchizedek, this king of Salem, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. What a satisfying proclamation that this must have been to the heart of Abraham, to hear such a king stand that and say such words that it came out of the mouth of Melchizedek that day. It must have done something to the heart of Abraham to say, this is the king that I want to choose. That if he has proclaimed this, and in proclaiming this is literally obtaining these things on my behalf, then the choice is clear. The choice has all the muddy waters have been made clear, and all the reservations have been settled, and all the anxiety about this choice, there is now peace about it. When Abram hears this king open his mouth and make such proclamations over Abraham, and would have satisfied the soul of Abraham to know that is my king. Amen. This king, Melchizedek, in making this proclamation, I need you to grasp this for a moment, that these are not just vain and empty words. This is not, y'all ever got in the presence of somebody that, it was just kind of awkward. You didn't really know them and you didn't know what to say. And you just start trying to find, I would call it filler conversation. This is not filler conversation. This is not a king speaking out of awkwardness, not knowing what to say. So let me just start running my jaws and moving my gums. Oh no, Brother Jack, this king of Salem is very pointedly making a proclamation by which he is obtaining from God some things on Abraham's behalf. And I remind you this morning, in Jesus Christ, we have a king that has obtained some things that we could not have obtained in anyone else, and we could not have obtained for ourselves, that we find, my friend, the King of Glory, has, my friend, made proclamation that he has obtained on our behalf. Amen. Here's what I want you to understand. If the choice in choosing your king is made for Jesus Christ, then with that choice is a proclamation that he will obtain for you the things that you desperately need. He not only brings some things, he obtains some other things. Oh boy, I wish I'd get a little help. I'm going to preach to try to help you. You try to help me preach it. What did he proclaim? What did he obtain by this proclamation that would satisfy our very soul today. Number one, I believe it was a satisfying proclamation in that the king of Salem attained for Abram the blessings from God. Here's the first thing the Bible said. When Melchizedek opened his mouth, he did not curse Abram. He did not, my friend, bear the proclamation of something that would have been a hardship on Abraham. The Bible said, and he blessed him. And he blessed him. Everything he's going to pronounce, everything that he's going to proclaim and obtain by way of that proclamation is going to be an obtaining of the blessings from God upon Abram's behalf. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you want the blessings of God? Do you want those blessings that come from God? Here's what the Bible said, and he blessed him. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham. Blessed be Abram. Are you listening? Amen. The fact of the matter is, what he is literally doing, he is raining down upon Abram's life. Blessings that come from God. I think about what the Word of God, what we know back in the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses would speak, the Lord would say through Moses, I'm setting before you this day the way of life and the way of death. I'm setting before you both blessing and cursing. Do you understand today that God could rain down and would be just, and it would be exactly what we deserve if he brought curses upon our life? That's what we're owed. That's what we deserve. My friend Abram had already had failures in his life since the day that God had called him out of the land, the Ur, the Chaldees. And he went out by faith, just simply obeying the Lord, not knowing whither he went. The book of Hebrews said, he just went out on the Word of God. And in a season of his life when things began to be hard and a famine come into his life, he had already proven that and his faith can waver at times. How he would leave the altar and he would leave communion with God and end up in Egypt and nearly getting himself and his wife and his family and all that he had killed getting out of the will of God. He's already proven that, that yes, he'll obey God, but there are struggles with his flesh and his life. He don't deserve the blessings of God. How are those going to be obtained? That's when the king of Salem stepped in and said, God knows every failure you've ever had. God knows all the wanderings of your heart and maybe even of your life and of your steps. How that you seek aid from Egypt and wind up lying and wind up in a mess. But I'm here to be your king. And I will obtain for you that you do not deserve, that you're not worthy of. And the king of Salem blessed him and said, blessed be Abram. I'm glad this morning, though I'm not worthy and I don't deserve the blessings of God, my failures and mount up. Amen. I suppose if you wrote them all down in a volume of books, that this building would not be able to contain, amen, the failures of my faith and the failures in my flesh and the weakness in my spiritual walk with God. But this morning I'm glad there's a king and I have made my choice and says, amen, I'll obtain for you. I will be your intercessor and mediator before God. And the God that ought to bring cursing on your life is one that I will appeal to and obtain the blessings of God upon your life. And I say this morning, I'm glad I made him my choice. Amen. Now don't get this wrong today. Amen. These blessings in the king of Salem is, my friend, obtaining and proclaiming, my friend, that'll satisfy Abram's soul. They're not, my friend, limited to the realm of the temporal. Amen. When he said, and when the Bible said, and he blessed Abram. Amen. Listen, he didn't bless him with a new home. Abram lived in tents. Abram had nowhere to call home. As a pilgrim and a stranger, his blessing wasn't a new home. His blessing, my friend, was not contained to just the things that we think about in our mortal minds about the blessings of God. Oh no, it went beyond, my friend, the mortal realm and the temporal realm and the carnal realm. Amen. I tell you what satisfied Abraham is that the king of Salem was obtaining for him every spiritual blessing that he needed. Here's what the New Testament said about you. If you're a child of God, you've made Jesus the choice. Amen. You've chosen Him as your King. Here's what the Bible said, that you are blessed already with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So all the grace that you need, by way of the blessing of God, all the grace you need, all the mercy you need, all the loving kindness you need, all the help that you need, all of the faith that you need. Oh, somebody help me. All the ways that, my friend, you need strengthened, all the courage you need mustered in your life that you pressed and pulled and climbed and clawed and tried to obtain. And yet, my friend, this morning, you have the blessing of that spiritual strength through Jesus Christ. And I say, I'm glad I am blessed from God today in Jesus Christ, my King. He obtained for him the blessings from God. Hallelujah. Number two this morning, hurriedly, he obtained for him the bond with God. There's something about what he proclaimed, Brother Mike, that has been a blessing to my heart for a month now when the Lord began to put this together in my heart. The Bible said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Do you understand what Melchizedek just said? He mentioned the God of glory in connection with Abram in the same breath. This ain't Abram. Listen, when God came down and met Abram, when we're introduced to Abram in the Word of God all the way back, is it chapter number 12? Amen. Into chapter number 11, the Bible talked about Abram. And here's what the Bible said. He was Abram of the land of Ur of the Chaldees. That's where his bond was at. When God found him, his bond, amen, was in the midst of a bunch of pagans and a bunch of idolaters and a bunch of people that didn't even know God. His bond, my friend, was with the world and a system and a physical location. When the king of Salem showed up, he said, I'm breaking all of that bond and I'm obtaining for you. You're no longer Abram of the Ur of the Chaldees. You are blessed, Abram, and you are Abram of the Most High God. Listen, oh, get a hold of this. What he is saying is, Abram, you no longer belong to your earthly daddy. You no longer belong to that system you were born into. You now have an eternal bond with the Most High God. I will remind you today, in and of yourself, you have no bond with God. In and of yourself, that's why sinners, there is a second death that is coming to every sinner that rejects Jesus and His Lordship and His saving grace and the power of the gospel. There's going to be a second death by which they are cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, and there they'll be tormented day and night forever and forever, eternally separated from God. Why? Because that there is no bond that we have with God outside of King Jesus having obtained for you and I that connection to the God of glory. Let me tell you something. If you have the Bible, here's what Jesus said. We quote this from time to time. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and His Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know God, To be connected with the God of glory requires you to make the choice for King Jesus, because only Jesus can obtain for you that eternal bond with the God of heaven. Amen. Last of all, and I'm done, he obtained for Abram the blessings from God and the bond with God. But he obtained for Abraham, I'll call it this morning for sake of outline, the breakthrough of God. Here's what he said: blessed be Abram of the Most High God. He reminds us who God is, the possessor of heaven and earth. Ain't you glad you got a bond with him? Amen. I'm glad I got a bond with the one who owns it all. Amen. The one who is everywhere. The one who has made heaven his throne and the earth his footstool. Amen. The one that is over all, reigning over all, controlling everything. Amen. That is my God, and I have a bond with him through Jesus Christ. Notice what he said: and blessed be the Most High God, Abram, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. You see, Abram's had some battles in his life. Abram has had some wars that he's had to fight. Then there's some things earlier in the text that he is outnumbered. He ain't got as many swords on his side as the enemy has on their side. And yet Abram goes out and he makes war and he's seeking to win a victory. And all of a sudden there's a battle that takes place. And in the midst of that battle, Abram comes out the victor and he runs down the enemy, and it's a great slaughter. And Abram has to his possession in this hour all of the spoils of war that have come by way of victory. Here's what Melchizedek said: you didn't win that because you were such a powerful warrior. You didn't win that because you had trained your servants to fight so well. You didn't win it because you had the skill of a special forces soldier and warrior that at one could put to flight 100. Abram, the fact of the matter is, it is God, it is through me. I knew the battle you were facing, and now we can turn and you can lift your hands to heaven and bless the Most High God that has brought about the victory for the enemies over the victories that you've just had to fight. And I remind you this morning, the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Somebody needed to hear what I just said. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost just struck me. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. I'm watching in this hour people wear themselves out fighting things in their mind, in their heart, in their spirit. Battles, things in our families, things that we don't understand, things we're looking around and we're wielding and we're fighting. And I'm not telling you not to pray, and I'm not telling you, my friend, amen, just put your head in the sand. That's not the point. Amen. But can I encourage us today and be reminded that it's Jesus Christ and has obtained for you and I, amen, the breakthroughs that we need in the battles that we fight. Amen. The old prophet said about the battle, amen, that the victory will not come. Amen. It's not by might and it's not by sword, but it's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. And this morning I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ, amen, there is victory and there is breakthrough and there is a way. Oh, it may not come to the strife, amen, that you and I are in, but there can be a breakthrough for the soul. I wish, my friend, though, amen, here's what the New Testament said. You know this. Romans chapter number 8, amen, says that we as God's children, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. What would be more than a conqueror? Either you've won or you've not won. Paul said that more than conquerors, amen, means that you have super abounded in victory. Amen. You say, preacher, you either have won or you've lost. That's how we think. You know what it is to be more than a conqueror? You'll read it in Romans 8. Y'all ready for this? Paul said, you'll face famine, and peril, and sword. You know what he's saying? You're going to have a battle till the day you die. Thank God for those seasons where that reality of a breakthrough comes and everything settles down. That means you're a conqueror. To be more than a conqueror is to, in Christ Jesus, obtain a victorious perspective. Amen. To not become negative. To understand that Christ has obtained for me that I need for spiritual victory. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You say, preacher, how in the world can we do that? We've got to listen to what the Lord has said over and over and over and over in His book. Amen. The church is not going down. You as a child of God are not going down. I know in the battle, in the heat of it, amen, we look around and it seems that way. But if we look upward and see the King that we have chosen, I promise you today, He is there saying, I have obtained, amen, so much so that God can be praised and He will give you victory over all your enemies. We've got enemies today and they're not flesh and blood. Now, Abram's were in the text, but you and I, we're told as New Testament Christians, is not. Flesh and blood is not our enemy. Our battle is spiritual. King Jesus has all the spiritual victory that you need to be more than a conqueror. You ever met somebody? They're fighting, you know they're fighting hell 50 acres at a time. Just fighting for all their worth, trying to be faithful to the Lord. And yet there's something about them and their countenance, something in the way they talk, that there's something on the inside that's so at peace and at victory. And their brain's about getting beat out of their head. Then there's some of us, all right, things go getting bad, buddy. I'm telling you, man, everything's bad. It ain't ever going to get better. And it's just, amen. Ain't that amazing how them two things can be so at contrast? Sometimes, even in my own life, sometimes I am that more than a conqueror. Sometimes I just wish I could be a conqueror. Let's just conquer this thing and get it over with. Here's my point this morning. How satisfying must it have been for Abram to hear? Abram, God, what Melchizedek is saying, God's already fought your battles. And He'll fight your battles in days to come. And you can rest in the fact that God is the one responsible for every breakthrough you need. Amen. I'm trying in these days. I'm going to share some things with y'all in the coming weeks. I'm really trying to focus in this stage of my Christian life. To live my life. Amen. Just keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to make a statement and I may elaborate on it tonight. Staying focused in signal. Not noise. You know what war brings? You know what battles bring? Y'all remember when I've got to quit. I'm done already. Can y'all believe that? At 11:46, I'm done. Let me try to wrap a bow around it. You remember when Moses and Joshua's coming off the mountain and they hear a commotion in the camp? Here's what Joshua said. He said, that's the noise of war, the sound of war. War, battles come with a lot of noise. Is that right? Some of you served in the military. You've been in war zones and you know way more about that than I could ever communicate. But I'm assuming war, strife, conflict, there's a whole lot of noise. But those soldiers who fight, they've got to keep a signal back to headquarters to know everything's okay.
help's on the way. We got the bombers. They're coming. The coordinates have been given. They're coming to where you are. They're signal. See, if you focus on sound, you start to lose your victory. But if you can stay in tune to signal, let me illustrate it this way. Boy, I wasn't going to give you this till tonight. I'll say maybe more about it. How many of y'all remember Miss Kate asked the other day, it was cold as frost on her windshield, and we was leaving at the same time. And I go out, start my truck about 10 minutes before I'm going to go, throw the defroster on, let it melt while I'm finishing getting ready, so when I'm ready to go, I ain't got to stand out there and scrape nothing. Miss Kate didn't do that. She went out, sat down, started the car, and she couldn't go nowhere. She said, you got a CD? I said, no, I ain't got no CDs. What is this, 2005? Let me get an 8-track while I'm at it. And I was being a smart aleck, and she gave me the you're so dumb look, all right? And I did help her. I went and found something, scraped her window. Said all that to get to this. How many of y'all remember them old dial turn radios? Remember those? I remember being a boy. And now we got electric ones. Now a lot of times you don't even use a radio. Everything's done through your phone. But back in them days, you remember, you could turn that dial. You know what most... Brother Larry, what was in most of that on that dial was nothing more than static and noise. Just every now and then, there'd be a little place in the middle of all that static. You'd get a what? You'd get a signal. In the noise, in the static, in the sound, just sound, there's no information being communicated. Amen. There's no music to cheer your soul. It's just all static. It'll drive you crazy. They've talked about, I'd probably go mad after just a few minutes if you had to. They talked about how they would torture people, throw them in prisons and just play sound and static and that fuzz that you catch on that radio. It'd drive a man crazy if that's all he's got to hear day in and day out. Lord's put it in my heart lately. Son, you have got to live your life in the signal. Because in the noise, there's defeat. In the noise, there's discouragement. If you can run across that spiritual dial and get a signal to heaven, you know what the King says? I've obtained it for you. There's information can be communicated that lets you know everything's going to be okay. Even when it don't feel like it. Even when it don't look like it. Even when everything on paper and everybody around you says, oh, it's impossible. The King of Salem says, we'll bless the Most High God because He's the one that is responsible for the victory in the first place. I believe that's right. I believe that's right. You know what the Bible said Abram did? Said he paid tithes to Melchizedek. Sister Candy's coming to, well, Riley will come to piano. Grandma's got her hands full. Amen. Now I want to go to Maryville. Amen. Him paying tithes to Melchizedek, you know that was his way of saying, I choose him to be king. Literally, he's giving him his everything. And I know a tithe is a tenth, but the Bible did say he gave him tithes of all, that he gave him of all of his life. He held nothing back. He made his choice. Now, what about in days to come? It looks like, well, that was just a blip in the life of Abram. He made a choice. The King of Salem, Melchizedek, he chose him. And then from there, but Jerry, you don't really even see, there's not even an indication that they ever met back up. There was never, it just was a choice. And then Abram lived in that choice the rest of the days of his life, day in, day out. Here's where it becomes vital. A few chapters later, God comes to Abram and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. I'm going to wipe Sodom out. And Abram begins to intercede. You know the story. He pleads down, if they just be five righteous, just five righteous, would you spare it? God said, I'll spare it. God couldn't even find where Abram cut the number off. And you know the story. God went down, rescues Lot, gets him out. But that day when God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram could step out the door of his tent and look that way and see Sodom on fire and the judgment of God falling on it and that crowd burning up in fire and brimstone. And say, I'm glad I didn't choose King of Sodom to be my king. Glad I made the right choice and went with the one who had peace and righteousness and represented me to God and God to me. I'm glad. You know, one of these days, sometimes you think, and really, if you've made the choice to be saved, I understand some of that terminology gets a little, I'm not talking about easy believism. Y'all know me. But you didn't get saved without making a choice. Sometimes in this life, you just get up, you live day to day, day in, day out. You do the same old things, be the same old Christian, and you just do and you do and you do. And you don't maybe every now and then you stop and you go, yeah, I'm thankful I know Jesus. There's coming a day we're going to watch the judgment of God fall on this earth. And I promise you in that hour, Bryson, you'll be glad for that day you stepped out, walked down that aisle and said, I choose Jesus. It does matter who you choose. It does matter who you've made your choice. Amen. If you're here today and you've not made that choice for Jesus, boy, you ought to. You ought to. If you're here and you have made your choice for Jesus, when's the last time you just crawled up somewhere and said, Lord, I just want you to know I'm thankful that you met me along life's way. Begin to remember what you was and who you's bound to and how cursed your life was, at least spiritually. How defeated you were and that Jesus came to where you were and obtained for you blessings and bonds and breakthroughs. Larry, we could have never had in and of ourselves. Be a good morning just to say, Lord, I have made the choice for your son, King Jesus, but I just got to thank you one more time. Amen. Let's stand together, Heavenly Father. Sure, thankful for the word of the Lord. What a comfort it is to our heart and our life. Lord, how we need the touch of God in these days. I need it, and Lord, others here today need it. As we've magnified the Lord today, Lord, feel like we've not done Him justice as we, Lord, so often feel like we fail to do. Lord, we've given it our best shot. Lord, we've been excited to tell about Him one more time. Pray it'd be enough that the Spirit of God could use today to draw some sinner to the glorious King of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, they've got a choice to make. If they've not already made it, everybody's got a choice to make. Pray this morning you'd give them wisdom to make the right choice. Lord, you'd bless and move and help in every way that only you can. Help the people of God this morning. As discouraged as they may be, defeated as they may be, as burdened down as they may be, pray, Lord, that something, Lord, could be laid hold on from the Scriptures as it's been preached today. Lord, they can they can look and listen to Jesus Christ and find that everything is well in Him. We're blessed in Him. We're bound to God through Him. Lord, there's victory and breakthroughs. Lord, even in the midst of battles and strife, Lord, we could be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Have your will and way, we pray in Jesus' name.